You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Jim Hansen, and we're joined now by Michael Bastash, a reporter for the Daily Caller, who is covering one of the most important national security beats recently, covering the greatest threat to the United States, the world, and mankind, as at least told by the Obama administration, global warming. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Well, hey, you've got an article out about one of my favorite and most respected individuals, Secretary John Kerry, saying that Donald Trump was disqualified from office because he denies global warming. Now, all the rest of the global warming piece that aside, which we'll definitely jump into, I find that pert near comical coming from a guy like John Kerry, who had some of the most fantastic tales ever told about his exploits in Cambodia on Christmas Eve with the CIA and his magic hat and all the rest of it. And now he's going to tell us who is or is not qualified for office based on that. But could you fill us in at least on what he seems to think is wrong with someone who doesn't hold the alarmist view on global warming?
Well, this has been a line that the Obama administration has been using for a really long time now. You know, back a few months ago, White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest said that anyone who doesn't believe in man-made global warming or subscribe to what the administration says shouldn't even have a say on a UN global warming treaty if it ever went in front of the Senate. So, I mean, this is something that they've been pushing for a long time, really just to discredit anyone who questions their policies. And it's funny because even John Kerry can't point to any way that global warming is making the world less secure. People will certainly talk about how the Syrian drought sparked the civil war. But even John Kerry has to come with that, say it with that caveat that, well, I'm not going to claim that this global warming caused the Syrian war. So it's really something that is in their heads. They know it is, and they have to ridicule anyone who questions them or points that out.
But is this something that it's almost a religious thing with the left? Do they just have to put this everywhere they can to make sure it has validity or at least gets the attention they feel it deserves?
Yeah, because this is the only conflict they can point to where, you know, a drought like may have sparked some unrest. But at the end of the day, when military experts look at this, they go, well, really, the Syrian drought itself, Syria is a very drought-prone region, too. For the past, like, 50 years, they've spent, you know, I think a good amount of time, I think, like, three-quarters of that time in drought. It's like California. Drought is nothing new to the region, and people have grown used to it over their lifetimes. But what happened, if you really look at the situation, it had everything to do with government policy and nothing to do with the environment. And really what it was a reaction to is, at the end of the day, people have been mad at the Assad regime for, what, a decade? He had promised all these reforms, done some that were unpopular and didn't do the ones that were popular. He pushed all these crops that were extremely water intensive, so everyone was growing cotton when they really shouldn't have been in a drought-prone region. And there are lots of other things that you can point to and look at. And it's sad that we're looking at conflict through this prism, because environmental factors almost never are the root cause of conflict. Now, granted, they can make people a little angrier if it's really hot out or there's a drought or there's food shortages because it's too cold to grow crops or something. But it's just this focus that the Obama administration has on global warming, and it's purely to push a treaty in the next couple months in Paris, and it has nothing to do with actual, like, national security issues.
But that hasn't stopped them from forcing members of the Defense Department and making claims that the greatest threat to our national security and international security is global warming. And yet, as you mentioned, they can barely point to Syria. And I think it's not comical. It's sad that they attempt to do so. But then they trot out, you know, and they force these statements out of the Defense Department saying that we believe you know, that the greatest cause of instability and these other things is global warming. Something the Defense Department is uniquely unsuited to do a single thing about, but I believe they're using it, as you mentioned, as cover and as credibility to push some sort of transnational agreement. And obviously they would love to sign the U.S. up to whatever nonsense they're going to put together in Paris. Do you have any insight as to what the U.S. thinks might be the best way for us to put on a hair shirt and suffer for our sins as far as our carbon usage?
Yeah, well, I mean, Obama has already promised this 26% to 28% carbon dioxide emissions cut by 2026 or 2025, around that time. And he's going to push a treaty in the UN that will not have to be ratified by the Senate.
Well, none of them do at this point, right? You know, I mean, he can run a nuclear deal through. If you can do a nuclear deal and not call it a treaty, I think the entire concept of treaties is gone. But go ahead with his cunning plan for this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of dangerous. Now we have the executive branch defining what is and what isn't a treaty, which is kind of, you know, you're on dangerous ground because Obama can sign us up to do these major things and then not have to get any agreement from the Senate. But it's also bad because if that's the case, another president can just step in, the next president, and undo all of that, and you create a ton of uncertainty because there's no really like legally binding thing to keep the country doing that. So if, you know, a Republican wins in 2016 and Obama has signed on to this UN treaty, it's going to mean nothing because the Republican can just undo all the things that Obama wanted to.
You know, you could actually make a good case. You could make a good case for a Republican president coming in and gathering up all of the lawless executive actions Obama has done and having a bonfire on the East Lawn to create a reaction and go ahead and mock the entire idea of global warming being our greatest security threat. I wanted to ask you about one more piece of energy policy. It sounds now like Obama has decided that the Arctic is no longer a good place to get gas from. We won't build a pipeline from Canada to bring oil from North America and our closest ally here into the U.S. But what are we not doing now in the Arctic?
Well, you know, now Obama has said for the rest of this 5-year plan, which is weirdly Soviet, that we will no longer be drilling in the Arctic. There were 2 lease sales up there that were canceled. And really, they say it's because of low interest and economic conditions, which is true. You know, there isn't a lot of interest right now among companies drilling in the Arctic because oil prices are so low. And it's very technically challenging to do it. Shell has been trying to do it for a couple years, and they've basically... they pulled out earlier this month or late last month. And really, really what it is, though, is it's going to keep a low interest in the Arctic, because if we keep having policies where we have a lease sale, then it's pulled, we have a lease sale, then it's pulled, you're going to create so much uncertainty that these companies aren't even going to want to risk billions of dollars to do this. I mean, Shell is taking a $4 billion hit on their failed Arctic excursion. They did find oil and gas up there, which is expected, but at the current price, they didn't find enough to justify it economically, to justify keep drilling. And the thing is, the price could go up again in the next 2 years. We have no idea. We have projections, but we have no idea what could actually happen. Really, it all hinges on what OPEC does at this point.
And given the chaos in the Middle East, I think the odds that oil prices go up are pretty good. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on what the Obama administration does there for the next year and hope that the next president has more sane policies around climate change and energy. We have been talking with Michael Bastash of the Daily Caller. Mike, thanks for your insight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jim.
Next up, we'll be talking with Michael Cutler, retired senior special agent of the Immigration and Naturalization Services. This is Jim Hansen doing Secure Freedom Radio.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.